Good morning to everybody. My name is Robert Childers, and I am director at Church of the Good Shepherd on Lookout Mountain. And Robert Hartmans is a good friend of mine, and asked some of the clergy in Chattanooga area to help out on times when you, not that y'all need help, but when you wanted somebody that could provide Eucharist for you. And it's an honor to be here. So thank y'all for letting me host me and being a part of y'all's celebration. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Be seated for our reading.
A reading from Daniel. The Lord spoke to Daniel in a vision and said, "At this time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall rise. There shall be a time of anguish such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." The word of the Lord.
Protect me, O God, for I take refuge.
A reading from Hebrews. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says the Lord, "I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of those, there is no longer any offering for sin." Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
I'm going this way. It's the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked them, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I'm he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in our times of anguish, in our times of fear, in our times of sorrow, be present to deliver us into your arms of love and peace and reconciliation. These things we ask in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope it's okay if I stand here. I'd like to be able to see people in sort of equal way. I feel like it's sort of, as my mother used to say, kind of cattywampus if I stay up there. So I'm going to, if this is okay, is this okay? It's going to make y'all have necks twisted. Are y'all all right? Will it make your necks twist around for me to stand here? Okay, y'all just have a seat then. Today is November 14th, 2021. On November 14th, 1940, the city of Coventry, England, had a time of great anguish and great destruction. And on the evening of November 14th, 1940, Coventry, which is in the Midlands of England, and it's a heavy industrial area, they were the place where all the armaments were built by the British. It was also sort of the Detroit of England. The cars were all made there. But the Germans decided that if we could destroy Coventry, we would force Great Britain to surrender, and they would win the war. So they came on that night, and they bombed and bombed and bombed the city of Coventry. With also mostly incendiary bombs, they dropped down and would ignite and then burn. In the middle of the city of Coventry, there was a beautiful 15th century cathedral. And the bombs fell on the cathedral, and they set the roof on fire. And those old timbers caught fire, and the roof collapsed and then burned all the interior. But what was left were the stone walls around it. The next day, Provost Howard, who was the dean of the cathedral, walked through the rubble and the smoke and the burned wood and said something that was very powerful. And I think it said something that was only came from God. It only came from the Spirit of God, but it did not come from the heart of humanity. Rather than saying, "Those blankety blank and blank Germans, we'll pay them back." That's what I would have said. "We'll get them back for what they did to our city, what they did to our cathedral, and what they're trying to do to our country." He didn't say that. He said, "We will be reconciled to the people that did this. We will reach out in arms of love to the people that did this and become one because God has made us one." That didn't go over well with a great deal of the English population. But that's what Provost Howard and the people of that cathedral determined they would do. And as soon as the war was over, a group of people from Coventry went to Dresden in Germany. And if you know any of your World War II history, Dresden was the Allies' answer to Coventry. They bombed Dresden unmercifully, just as the Germans had bombed Coventry. They went there and helped them to rebuild their city and to rebuild their churches that were destroyed. What they decided to do in Coventry is they had the ruins of the cathedral, and they had to say, what are we going to do? Are we going to tear it down and build something else? Are we going to go to another location? And they went through all sorts of praying and thoughts and plans about what to do. And what they decided to do was to leave the ruins. To leave the ruins as they were, with the stone walls, the steeple was still there, and build a new cathedral. And what you do is you walk down steps from the old cathedral, and there's sort of a broad porch, and then you walk into a brand new cathedral. The name of the cathedral is St. Michael's and All Angels. And you heard Daniel make a reference to Michael, that great archangel. And it says that in times of great anguish, Michael will be there. In times of great anguish, Michael will be there to protect all the people. In the area that connects the ruins of St. Michael's and All Angels Cathedral and the new cathedral, there's a sidewalk that comes up. And right there in the middle of it, there's a statue. And the statue is of St. Michael, the great archangel, the protector, who comes to us in times of anguish. And Michael has wings like we always imagine angels, broad, broad wings. Huge wingspan, is as wide as he is tall. And in his right hand, he holds a spear. And at his feet is the devil. At his feet is the angel, and he is defeated. And he's laying on his back, and he looks up in fear, and probably a little bit of awe, but mostly fear, at Michael. Because he has been defeated by the great archangel. And if you walk by that statue, it's like those portraits. When I was a kid, I'd see portraits, and the eyes would follow you. Wherever you went, they were looking at you. When you look at this statue of Michael, his eyes follow you so that you look at him, the one who has come to us in times of great anguish and has vanquished the fear, the uncertainty, the anxiety, the terror, whatever it is that troubles you, whatever it is that troubles me, this great protector of us, this angel sent from God is there to protect us. And so that when we walk by Michael, we don't look at the one he's vanquished. We don't look at the prince of darkness. We look in the eyes of the one who has defeated this one. And our eyes are on that. And this is in the middle of the ruins of the cathedral and the brand new cathedral. And it reminds me that in times of anguish, when my life is in rubbles, when there's nothing left but a shell, when my very core seems like it's been gutted and been taken away by life, by circumstances, by others, by whatever it is that brings anguish to me and whatever brings anguish to you, that we step out of that shell, we step out of that anguish, and we come down the steps, and we walk in to the light of Christ. Because Michael and the angels of God have come to us in those times and have defeated those things that would hurt us, those things that would terrorize us, those things that would kill. But Michael says, I have the last word. Because the last word was given to me by God, the creator of the universe, the source of light, the source of love, the one who reconciles us, and the one that gives us new life. And as you walk across the porch with Michael to your right, you walk into this new cathedral, and what you see is Christ enthroned in majesty, looking at us in the eyes just as Michael has looked at us in our eyes. And Christ enthroned in majesty awaits us to come in there to worship, to be reminded of the truth that is. In my life, I've never seen greater anguish than we've experienced in these last nearly 2 years. It has done so much to us individually, to us as communities, to us as a nation, to us as a world. It has been a time of great anguish, and we have turned to all sorts of things for relief, for comfort, for peace, some of which have been good, some of which has failed us. But what our gospel says, what the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us again and again, and what it says to us in this beautiful, beautiful passage from Daniel, and what it says to us in Hebrews, those, if we've neglected to meet together, don't do that. Come together. Come together and find the presence of Christ in your midst. And Jesus says to his disciples, when are we going to know what's going to happen? He said, there's going to be all sorts of trouble. There'll be wars. There'll be rumors of wars. There'll be people that say, I am the Messiah, the one you're looking for. But don't follow them. These are but birth pangs. You'll know when my peace is present. You'll know when I'm there. Christ is here. Christ is here in our midst. And this Christ brings us love, peace, reconciliation, mercy. He gives us the very things we hunger for in the body and blood of Jesus that we'll partake of. In times of great anguish, Scripture says, the Holy One, the Lord of Lords, the Host of Hosts, the Light of Life is in our midst. Whatever anguish that I go through, whatever anguish you go through, whatever anguish the community of St. Thaddeus goes through, the body of Christ wherever gathered, Christ promises us that whatever anguish I have is not too great for Jesus not to be able to deliver us, to bring us into the arms of love, in the arms of grace and peace. And if you could just hold in your mind's eye at your darkest time, and God knows these have been some dark times for all of us, St. Michael stands with his spear on the ground and Satan at his feet, defeated and scared and on the run. And he looks in your eyes. And he looks in my eyes and says, I have won. I have defeated the one that brought you fear. I have defeated the one that brought you anguish. I'm victorious. Walk with me from the time of fear into peace. Walk with me from the time of darkness into light. Walk with me in the arms of loving God who is here, who is present. Anguish will not win. Love conquers all. And Jesus' love is the best thing we have. It's the ultimate weapon against all that would take us down. Jesus has us in his arms. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, amen.
Please stand as
have seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again, Lord, to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have an end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please stand or kneel as we pray for the church and the world.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and for those of others, and those on our parish prayer list. Jim,
J.R. and Courtney, Pat,
John,
Priscilla,
Greg,
Cindy,
Joycey,
Kelly,
Barry,
Pete,
Kat,
Xavier,
Becky,
Alexander,
Kelly,
Jerry and Doug,
Terry,
Dale,
Adam,
Paula,
Margaret,
Jacqueline,
John and Jane,
Zach,
Steve,
Kyle,
Richard,
Bonnie,
Cindy,
Eddie,
Amy,
Lori,
Eric,
Rick,
Lori.
Help us to ask only what accords with your will. And those good things which we dare not or in our blindness cannot ask, grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
With the assurance that our sins are forgiven and that we're called to live a new life in Jesus Christ our Lord, may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Announcements or anything?
I have none this morning.
No announcements? Okay.
Next week's meal.
Hold on, what?
You do?
Next week's meal.
Stewardship. Oh, yeah. I do have an announcement.
There you go.
Next week after church is going to be our gathering. It's our stewardship meal right after the service. So everyone, please come and enjoy the fellowship, and we will embrace what gifts that we can give to God and to this parish. Thank you.
Lord, I'm sure if Robert said, he'd say, get those cards in.
You're right.
We're doing the same thing in my parish. So, yeah, get those cards in. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself an offering and sacrifice to God.
Then we sing.
Service continues with the great thanksgiving, which is found in your bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, join our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophet, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we're bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Let us taste and see that the Lord is good.
Oh.
We process that too. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we depart from this place, let us go in peace. Pray for the sick, forget not the poor, and let us make no peace with oppression, but love one another as our Lord Jesus Christ loves us. In the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst us, remain with us, now and always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sorry about that. That's